News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Just step back for a second and put this in context. 16 months ago, Russian forces were on the doorstep of Kyiv in Ukraine, thinking they'd take the city in a matter of days, thinking they would erase Ukraine from the map as an independent country. Now, over this weekend, they've had to defend Moscow, Russia's capital, against mercenaries of Putin's own making.
By digging up and destroying the roads that go into Moscow, like that, they were building defensive embattlements against basically their own mercenaries. This is the craziest story. I don't know how much you followed it over the weekend. It was kind of over before it really started, right? But 24 hours of absolute uncertainty as, you know, Prigozhin was taking the Wagner group that he oversees and, you know, had been running these sort of, you know, international mercenary operations and, you know, propping up warlords here in order to use their natural resources and suppressing populations over there and selling arms and hiring, you know, convicts to work in this army for hire at the wink and nod support of Vladimir Putin. And then there's like this attack against was in Ukraine that kills some of his people and half of his troops wind up dying in a, you know, massive assault that they wage in Ukraine. And he says, enough is enough. I'm going the other way.
For 24 hours, the world watched Wagner forces inch closer to Moscow. Updates of their advance splashed across social media. The Russian military secured the capital, soldiers deployed on the streets, and heavy equipment ripped up roads leading to the city.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty serious when you're ordering your people, all right, our best defense here is, can y'all destroy these roads? Let's, you know, make sure these tanks don't actually come into Moscow. David Martin for CBS.
Well, it came as a surprise to U.S. intelligence. They had some warning that there was going to be a mutiny. But they were surprised when the Russians put up no resistance, allowed Prigozhin to go into their military headquarters in Rostov, and then send his army unopposed north toward Moscow.
Yeah, I think that was you know, certainly surprising to the world, a little unsettling to find out that it was totally surprising to U.S. intelligence, who then were also surprised that it started and surprised that it ended so quickly.
And then they were surprised again by how quickly a deal was made. They had expected a longer, more violent affair, and that's why people like the National Security Advisor, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of staff canceled their travel plans because there was the danger that this mutiny could mushroom into a civil war. And that brings up all sorts of concerns about the security of Russia's nuclear weapons. And what you learn is that when a person like Putin is sitting on top of an arsenal of thousands of nuclear weapons, his problems very quickly become your problems.
Yeah. So asking these questions about, you know, the status of Russia's military and nuclear forces to Tony Blinken was Margaret Brennan for Face the Nation.
Is the U.S. prepared for the potential of the fall of the Putin government? And is their nuclear stockpile, the largest in the world, secure?
We always prepare for every contingency in terms of what happens.
That's like, all right, spin the wheel of stock answers. We are preparing for every contingency. Like, it's not a reassuring answer when the Secretary of State gives you, you know, canned answer number 47A.
We always prepare for every contingency. In terms of what happens in Russia, it's an internal matter for the Russians to figure out.
Oh, that this isn't really our stuff. I mean, it's for them. You know, I don't know if it has anything to do with us.
Of course, when we're dealing with a major power, and especially a major power that has nuclear weapons, that's something that's of concern.
Oh, just like, you know what you need from a Secretary of State? You know, Secretary of State is going to give different answers when he's talking to the American public. I mean, it's fine to be able to turn on the Diplo speak when you're talking to your foreign counterparts. But, you know, when she asks, are the nukes secure? Yes. And we have taken steps to be prepared in case anything happens. We are confident in our ability to deter any inappropriate use of them. I mean, these are the kind of answers that I want. Like, give me something reassuring, not, well, you know, we're watching.
Something we're very focused on. We haven't seen any change in Russia's nuclear posture. There hasn't been any change in ours, but it's something we're going to watch very, very carefully.
We're all watching. You, tell me something more than that.
Do you know the whereabouts of Vladimir Putin right now? Is he in Moscow?
I don't want to speculate on that or what information that we have. Again, we're watching that carefully.
Now, that one I actually understand. Because, you know, just like on the nuclear question, I think you do have to be a little bit cautious, you know, because you don't want to give something substantial out that might disclose the kinds of surveillance or information sources that you have that would, you know, I understand, okay? When you're Secretary of State, you are actually protecting an awful lot of information. Nevertheless, on the nuclear question, you can be a lot more reassuring than this. Unless what you mean to be is not reassuring. Which is means there's underlying concern about these things. 716 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And keeping an eye on stuff, I-10 eastbound at mile marker 7, we're seeing a possible roadblock after a truck went into the trees early this morning. This is just east of Pine Forest on the ramp to I-10. Now the responders are on scene. I-10 westbound, mile marker 19 in Milton, debris in the roadway is caution there. And Pine Forest and 297A, that signal light is now out. As I understand, police are on the scene. There's a cruiser on scene. Storm took some trees down on the power lines, and they just got that back up. But it appears even though there are crews trying to do repairs, they just want you to use caution, please, in that area. And certainly if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. I will say this about the Russia. I mean, there's a lot of questions still. You know, how is it possible that an ally, subordinate, servant, whatever you want to call Wagner Group, of Putin would so quickly and massively turn and fight against him, would raise questions publicly about the, you know, the basic claims that Putin has been lying to the Russian people about justifying the war in Ukraine and challenge all of them, you know, basically saying all the things that we say that are based in truth as opposed to the lies that Putin tells his own people. You know, how is it possible that that could happen so quickly and then that it could all go away so quickly and, you know, oh, all good, we made a deal, he's going to Belarus. Zip-zop, let's hire some of those mercenaries into the regular army. You know, how could that all happen? Well, one theory is it's so strange it had to be coordinated. Like, it had to be staged. It had to be, you know, Putin's trying to accomplish something here. He made it look like it was what – but it doesn't make any sense because it winds up making him look so weak. It also winds up airing these concerns against the war in Ukraine to his own people. And certainly, I mean, my goodness, you know, I think Blinken's initial statement that – you know, 16 months ago, they were, or 18 months ago, they were on the verge of taking Kyiv, and now they're on the verge of losing Moscow. I mean, I never played a game of Axis and Allies. It turned so quickly, right? That's an amazing thing to have happen. That does not make Putin look good. That does not make life easier for him. Now, I think an awful lot of people's first reaction to this turn of events in Russia was, I know mine was, oh, about time. We're going to get rid of Putin. It's going to be a coup. Sweet day. And then I learned more about Prigozhin, and I'm like, oh, it's possible there are worse things than Putin, you know, like, and there are, which, by the way, just as a kind of a side note to all of this, one of the arguments historically, if you're older, you know this, if you're younger, you might not be familiar with this. So pardon me for, you know, mansplaining American history or, you know, international politics history. But one of the reasons that the United States would put up with strongmen dictators all over the world, whether it was Gaddafi or whether it was Saddam Hussein or Mubarak, you know, or, I mean, pick your tyrant, okay? The reason we often put up with them is because we believed that though they were bad, brutal, repressive, and not in line with our American values, either the people in the countries that they oversaw needed that kind of strong restraint because they couldn't handle freedom and democracy. They'd fall into corruption and chaos and crime. They'd become failed states like Afghanistan. Or because we perceived that bad though they are, the other people that would plunge into a power vacuum if those people were removed would be even worse. And that has long been the concern. Not as much maybe with Russia, but, you know, you can certainly see that pattern. If there's somebody worse than Putin out there, it's hard to imagine there are, but maybe there are. You know, is there somebody worse than Hussein or Gaddafi or Mubarak or, you know, again, you know, is there somebody worse than Kim Jong-un? You know, is there somebody worse than the Ayatollah, right? You know, just kind of, that's always a worse than Castro, you know, because the people that are there are really bad, but maybe they're sort of really bad works to our advantage. And even, and I'm not defending this point of view or saying this is the right way for us to think about foreign relations. I'm just saying this is how we have thought about it. Okay. And the answer for, you know, a lot of historic foreign relations is, well, instability is its own bad. And there are worse things than tyrants, because at least some tyrants are predictable and useful. Whereas, again, take the example of an Iran, right? A highly motivated ideological tyrant that is on the verge of acquiring nuclear capability, that is way worse than even a Saddam Hussein. Because what they want is for nukes and annihilation and to wipe Israel off the map. And so a lot of times it's this calculus of they're bad, but the other is worse, or the possibility of other would be worse. And, you know, I had been thinking, hey, a coup in Russia might not be so bad. That's kind of the thing we've been hoping for all along. Oh, maybe not all coups are good. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This Blue Angels history is brought to you by Service Matters Realty.
The 1967 season of the Blue Angels began with winter training at El Centro Naval Air Station in the Imperial Valley Desert of Southern California. This was the first year for winter training at El Centro, and they've conducted winter training there ever since. One reason for Navy flight training over the desert is the sharp contrast between the blue sky and the brown sand. When training over water, as they used to do in Key West, Florida, the difference between the blue sky and the blue water is much less obvious, which makes vertigo more likely. The El Centro base also provides the Blues with a vast, relatively air traffic-free zone for practicing their delicate maneuvers. The 1967 season was a year for long-distance travel for the Blue Angels as they performed 65 flight demonstrations throughout Europe, North Africa, the Middle East, and Canada, plus Alaska and many other U.S. states. Americans in every state had a chance to see the Blue Angels in 1968 when the team went on a whirlwind tour of the United States, performing air shows in all 50 states. In October of the same year, Lieutenant Mary Russell reported to the Blue Angels as public information officer, becoming the first female to be assigned to the Navy Flight Demonstration Team. The November 17, 1968 performance at NAS El Centro was not only the final show of the season, it was the final show in the F-11 Tigers II. After 22 years of flying Grumman-built aircraft and 11 of those in the Tiger, the Blue Angels were switching to the McDonnell Douglas F-4 Phantom fighter jet, which was serving the Navy so well in Vietnam. Because of the tremendous power of those Mach 2 F-4s, supersonic speeds were easily attained, even without intending to, as happened at an air show in Canada on August 6, 1969. The Blue Angels were performing in Kelowna, British Columbia, when, due to high terrain, it was necessary for one of the pilots to deviate from his normal flight path to rejoin the others in formation. He got slightly behind in his timing, and in order to catch up, lit his afterburners for just a second or two. But this caused his plane to break the sound barrier, and the resulting sonic boom shook the city and shattered most of the windows in an 8-block area downtown. I'll be back with more after this.
We love our military and first responders. Hi, I'm Suzanne Morgan with Service Matters Realty and Property Management, where we believe in doing more. We have a program designed specifically for military and first responders. It's called Your Service Matters. At closing, eligible buyers will receive money back based on the sale price of the home. Since 2015, we've given back over $230,000. Find out more. Go to servicemattersre.com.
Blue Angels must be strong, healthy, and fit. So why was there a fat Blue Angel added in 1970? Find out in the next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who do you let influence you? Proverbs 1:10 says, "If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Those who promote evil are vying for your attention, approval, and even involvement. As Americans, we are faced with a barrage of sinful temptations promoted by others. Whether it's through social media, music, movies, or even in person, the world around us is full of enticing influences. One of the key elements to spiritual and mental success is to learn how to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Surround yourself with Christ-like people who have the joy of the Lord in their heart. Remember, if sinners entice thee, and they will, consent thou not, and your heart will both be liberated from guilt and strengthened with joy.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
New South proud!
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
.26 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And accident at Pine Forest right now, actually, at mile marker 7, I-10 eastbound. The roadway may be blocked in that area. Use caution. A truck went into the trees early this morning. It's just east of Pine Forest on the ramp to I-10. First responders on the scene. I'm seeing two accidents in that area. I-10 westbound, mile marker 19. This is westbound at Milton. Debris in the roadway. Use caution. And Pine Forest and 297A, the signal light's out. There's a cruiser on the scene. The storm took down some trees. This happened before the show this morning. Down some power lines. And people are there on crew, on scene, trying to do these repairs. But please use caution in that area and obey the traffic directions. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David? There we go.
The U.S. Coast Guard launching a formal investigation into the implosion of the Titan submersible. Captain Jason Neubauer leading that probe. Currently, they're in the evidence collection phase. The Supreme Court set to hand down some key decisions this week on student debt relief, affirmative action, and federal elections laws. The court entering its last week of the summer session with 10 cases pending. And wood-fired pizzas in New York may be tougher to come across soon. Well, apparently it's all in the name of the environment. They're cracking down on carbon emissions. The New York Post reporting New York City Department of Environmental Protection is drafting new rules requiring restaurants to cut carbon emissions by 75%. This is going to hit pizza places that use older coal and wood-fired ovens the hardest because they're going to have to buy expensive new emission control devices.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty complicated story, David. Thanks so much for bringing this up. I'm probably going to do this for transgressors on Friday, just so you know. But they put these new rules in for the coal and wood-fired pizza places in New York. And the challenge is they're saying what you've got to do is you've got to either install a scrubber on your chimney, basically, to remove 75% of the pollution so that it doesn't go out and make people sick or contribute to carbon and climate change and blah, blah. Or you've got to show that you tried real hard to do that and it's not feasible, which means hiring an engineer to study the problem and to find out that it can't be done. Even so, you've got to still reduce it by like 25%. And there's not that many of them, apparently, in New York, but they're sort of old-style throwback, like 100 years old kinds of things. And so a lot of them are not built in such a way that you even could do the scrubber. They run through several layers of who's the landlord, who's responsible, how do you get access to the main. There's all kinds of technical issues. But, yeah, the short version is that the climate activists are now trying to destroy charcoal and wood-fired pizza ovens in New York City. Which, of course, you know, you need that high temperature. And, you know, I mean, it's all kinds of weird things like the rate by which air flows through the oven out the flue. If you change that, maybe you change the temperature of the oven, changing the flavor of the pizza, and you won't be able to make the pizza that everybody loves anymore with that cool char on it or whatever. So, yeah, it's just there's a never-ending list of offenses, a never-ending list of things that have to be done in the name of whatever, you know, cause in the grand panoply of wokeness is attracting attention at the moment. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Bands on the beach, bands on the beach. We've got Mass Confusion is going to be on tomorrow night, at weather pending. 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion, put on by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. So that'll be a great event. Also, there is a storm headed our way in maybe a couple of hours. It might go to our south, okay? We might miss it. Like, it's coming from northern Louisiana, southern Arkansas, headed through Mobile. We might get lucky and miss it, but it's kind of right on that angle between us and Mobile at the moment.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is in Eagle Pass, Texas, to talk about plans for immigration and border security if he's elected president.
A campaign spokesman for the governor saying in a statement, DeSantis will secure the border once and for all, adding there will be no excuses.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. Former President Trump, meantime, tells Republicans in Oakland County, Michigan, receiving their Man of the Decade Award, the Biden administration will hurt the state's auto industry.
You are heading toward a fall like nobody's ever seen before. And that's with this crazy policy they have for all electric.
The White House today is announcing funding awards for low and no emission buses.
More than 1,700 American-built buses that will be manufactured in America, factories with American workers.
White House Infrastructure Coordinator Mitch Landrieu, the money for buses in 46 states and territories comes from the infrastructure bill passed by Congress a year and a half ago. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 78 right now, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Former Escambia County contractor Jesse Lacoste was arrested again on Friday, the sixth arrest so far this year. Lacoste was booked into the Escambia County Jail, released shortly after he was charged with contractor larceny. Of course, Lacoste has previously been accused of taking money in deposits, but never finishing, sometimes never starting the work on projects. His contractor's license was suspended. He currently faces charges across Northwest Florida. 23-year-old from Baldwin County is charged with public indecency after allegedly performing sexual acts in several retail stores around the area. Marcus McKillian was first arrested in May, but authorities say after their investigation, they learned there may have been several prior incidents. Investigators say after downloading the contents of McKillian's phone, they found several videos he filmed in area retail stores where he was committing the acts in front of unsuspecting patrons. And police say to make matters worse, he was selling those videos online to porn websites. It was a deadly weekend along beaches in Northwest Florida. There were two drownings in Walton County, three more in Panama City, and officials say there were either red or double red flags flying during the time of some of those drownings. Congressman Matt Gaetz hosting a congressional field hearing this morning in Okaloosa County. That'll be at the Okaloosa County Administrative Complex in Shalimar. And a news release says they'll be discussing the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms targeting Florida's FFL dealers over minor clerical errors. Representatives Andrew Clyde, Neil Dunn, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Victoria Spartz will all also be attending this hearing. And again, that starts at 10 o'clock this morning in Okaloosa County at the Administrative Complex in Shalimar. The number of people traveling over the 4th of July holiday weekend is expected to be record-breaking.
An estimated 50.7 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more for the Independence Day weekend, a number even higher than before the COVID pandemic. AAA says more people will be traveling by car now that gas is about $1.20 lower than it was a year ago. Air travel should be up 11% to 4.1 million. The fact that the holiday falls on a Tuesday, giving many a four-day weekend, is helping to spur the demand in travel. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Thank you very much, Rory. A Jacksonville civil rights leader being remembered today. Ben Frazier passed away Saturday at the age of 73 from cancer. And city leaders there in Jacksonville say Frazier advocated for civil rights and equality from City Hall all the way to the UN. They say he was a man of integrity and conviction that brought overwhelming passion to everything he did. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right, taking a look around Pine Forest and 297A. It's not a big old mess necessarily. The signal light's out. There is a cruiser on scene, but nobody's directing traffic. So storm took some trees down on the power lines. There are crews on scene trying to do the repairs. So just please use extra caution in that area. I-10 westbound mile marker 19, still showing debris in the roadway. Truck in the trees. This is just east of Pine Forest on the ramp to I-10. And I'm not showing a roadblock or anything. I-10 eastbound mile marker 7 is showing a couple of accidents just a little bit earlier. And then there's another one eastbound in between mile marker 7 and mile marker 10. But it looks like that's been moved off to the side, not showing any slowdowns right now. Certainly use caution, as you know, wherever you are. It looked like there was a train at the mill, maybe, because that's slow. So it's hard to say. Either it's a really long light or there is a train at the mill, and that's what's slowing things down. And caution, as you know, wherever you are. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Very hot and humid today with those morning storms passing. High near 94 degrees. Low tonight near 79 degrees. As you go into Tuesday, the heat continues with highs in the mid-90s, feeling much warmer in the triple digits. 30% chance of rain on Tuesday. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 78 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. Singer Rihanna is stepping down as the CEO of the lingerie brand she founded 5 years ago and replaced with former Anthropology Group CEO Hillary Super. Savage X Fenty first began as an online retailer in 2018 and quickly launched into pop-up shops selling size-inclusive lingerie, sleepwear, and loungewear before opening brick-and-mortar locations throughout the country. Rihanna will reportedly remain in a leadership position at the company, which is now worth over $1 billion. Besides all that cargo and those giant trucks that pass you on the highway, there are probably some pets. A survey of truckers by truckstop.com finds that half of them travel with a pet for emotional support, and 46% of those surveyed would consider a different occupation if they could not travel with their pet. On Wall Street, futures little changed after stocks closed broadly lower on Friday. And that's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, preventchildabusefl.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, everyone. We're here for Public Forum. Public Forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Oh,
Before you start my clock, could you pause it for just a second? Could I ask parents of children who would not like their child to hear pornography to take your child out of the room? Because I am going to read pornography, graphic and loud. So if you do not want your child, and I'm setting 15-year-old boys out, so please exit. If you have a child in the room and you do not want them to hear pornography, please take them out of the room. I'm going to read it, and it's vile.
Should we cut the live feed?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I mean, why are you cutting my live feed?
Well, hold on. Ma'am, if you're gonna
I want to go on record. I asked the chairman if we should cut the live feed because sometimes my wife and children watch, especially since
they,
the summer.
They can choose not to watch this.
Right, but
this
I appreciate
is,
it.
This
Thank
is
you.
Discrimination to cut the live feed.
No, I just simply asked the question.
I certainly take some issue with if you're intentionally going to use vulgar language.
Reading a book that's in the Santa Rosa County School Library, written by the same author as the book a previous person had brought forth as being problematic.
Oh, boy. or as Bobby would say, oh, boy. No. So, yes, the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting last Thursday was, I don't know. I guess it's just a one-ring circus because it's just like the one stuff that's going on right in the middle, so that's kind of boring, I suppose. But, yeah, it was a giant hot mess. That was Anna Rowling, or Railing, I'm not sure. Basically warning parents that she was about ready to read some porn in there, you know, because their point is these are the books that are actually in the libraries that don't have anything to do with the county commission's business. But, you know, James Calkins, who wishes he were on the school board, apparently, or wishes he was in the Congress, apparently, or wishes he was at the state house, apparently, because, you know, he wants to do everything but the business of the county, you know, and deal with all these things. So that's the stuff that gets headlines and makes the news and gets people all riled up. So they show up to argue about, you know, limiting access to books for kids. And she's going to read From the Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison.
I'm trying to read a portion of the books that are in the Santa Rosa County School Library. So if this is a debate about whether books should be removed or not removed, it would seem appropriate that I could read the book that's in the school that's being given to children at a public meeting.
Okay, your clock's going. Jared, pause the time for this moment.
It's kind of an interesting theory, this idea that, and by the way, that you heard Sam Parker say about cutting the live feed, you know, because people are watching at home. And, you know, there's actually a part of the law that just got passed this year that requires that if somebody is reading, like at a school board meeting, because this has been tried before, I'm going to read the offensive material and show you that it's offensive and therefore it shouldn't be in the school's library. And the law, I think it was this year, I don't think it was last year, I think this year, it said that if somebody goes to read from a book that's in the library and it's so vulgar that the chair of the school board has to stop them from reading it and say, you're not allowed to read that here because it's disturbing or offensive, vulgar, profane, right, prurient, all the different things, you have to remove the book. Like, if you can't read the book in the school board meeting, then you have to remove the book. There's a lot of things in books that are better not read out loud in a 2 or 3 minute vignette in public. And though I'm sympathetic to the concern, and I did listen to her read From the Bluest Eye, which I have not read. Okay. I don't have an opinion about books until I've read them. So I don't have any opinion about The Bluest Eye, one way or the other. I heard the material, but there's always somebody trying to ban everything, you know, and some of the things deserve to be banned. Or in this case, not even a ban. It's not to have it in the school library, right? That's different. But the notion that everything, like every sentence of every book that a high school student, which is different from a middle schooler and grade school student, should read, would be okay to read out loud in public. I mean, that's just not true. There's some things that are offensive or that need context or that might be bad, but need to be read in a discussion or talked about afterwards or might be offensive. You know, again, I'm not categorizing The Bluest Eye because I haven't read it. And I know that what she read was disturbing. But that's not the proof that something ought to be restricted because, again, much art, much literature. I mean, not to make the enemy's point, but there are parts of the Bible that, you know, you typically don't read out loud in a Sunday morning service. Because maybe it's not for everybody, you know, or not without context, which, of course, in a sermon, you're going to get the context. Anyway, so she reads it, and I'm not going to read what she read was really vulgar, and I'm not going to have that over the air. But here was what happened at the end.
Trying to connect the pain between her legs with the face of her mother looming over her.
Your time has expired. Thank you.
Another minute.
No. Thank you.
See, she had been complaining that she was trying to do a procedural matter in the beginning with the warning of people to leave, which, by the way, I thought that was good. You know, tell people not to listen if you're about to do something horrible, which I try to do on this show, too. Hey, if you got kids, maybe turn it off. Okay, I appreciate that. But she felt like she should get more time because Colton Wright wanted to start running her time when she was trying to warn people to leave. And to some degree, you heard him say in the middle of that earlier clip, hey, start her time back up.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. It's not censorship. It's not censorship. Ma'am, you've had your time. You can't yield your time.
By the way, the guy yelling in the background is this Michael Stevens, who's Calkins' kind of lackey friend.
Is that the guy that thinks his name is James McCalkins?
That's right. He's the guy that always wants to get
so
thrown out of the meeting.
So he's screaming censorship?
That's right.
Yeah. Hold on. I have to pray to the God of irony.
You can't yield your time. You cannot yield time. Ma'am, you... Public forum is adjourned.
Tyrant! Tyrant! Tyrant!
Oh, my God. Just, oh, man. I find myself very torn about all of this because on the one hand, it's super entertaining. On the other hand, this is supposed to be our government's business. And we have people showing up who, I don't want to put this just the right way. If we were going to grant permission slips to people to participate, they wouldn't get them. I'm not saying in a rolling. I'm saying some other folks in this case. I think, though, she was the one that later on in the meeting is yelling about points of order. They're having a commissioner conversation about the abortion resolution and about the pornography in the schools resolution. And she's like, point of order, point of order. And Tom Danheiser has to basically say, we're not governed by Robert's Rules of Order. There is no point of order. We don't even have to have public forum. It's not legally obligatory in the state of Florida. So I'm not really sure what you're talking about. I love when Tom Danheiser gets involved because he's always going to, oh, man, it's always going to be good. Actually, you know, here, I'll play this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Come on. Okay. You're killing me. Pine Forest at 297A, that signal light is still out. The storm took trees down, took some power lines down, and that's there's still crews on scene trying to do the repairs. Please be careful at that intersection. Nobody is there directing traffic. I-10 westbound, mile marker 19, showing debris in the roadway. Accident a little earlier, I-10 eastbound at mile marker 7. I'm not showing a roadblock now, but a truck went into the trees just east of the Pine Forest ramp on I-10. And just make sure I'm not missing anything else. It looks like everything else is running at posted speed. Certainly use caution wherever you are. And if you have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, by the way, I got a text in from somebody who was at the meeting, said the person who was yelling censorship was apparently not Michael Stevens. So I apologize because it sounded just like him. So, you know, my apologies. That's who it sounded like to me. And when they're not on mic and they don't, which is why you go on mic and you identify yourself as a speaker and all of that. Anyway, this was Colton Wright talking later in the meeting about this issue of, are you obligated to give time to the public and under what circumstances and where in the agenda are we? They'd already had public forum at the beginning, okay? So this is at the end. The other voice you're going to hear is Tom Danheiser, the county attorney, and also I think James Calkins is on this clip too.
I'm not sure where our county attorney went, but he can tell you that there is no legal, and I would ask maybe him to chime in on this, but there's no legislation that says they have to speak at this county commission meeting or at a city council meeting. Commissioner Calkins, you continuously interrupt.
The board's had a public forum. There's no items to speak on left on the agenda. So there's no, under your policies, any provision.
The public forum was shut down.
Sir,
if the meeting seems to be completed according to the agenda.
I love that. He's like, seems like we're done here. we could just go home. So after a little more bickering, they do.
Unanimously, everyone voted how we would handle public forum. It would be from 8:30 and 9:30.
No, that was that's not true. That was
that
a
is
chairman
true.
Issue. And you we shut have down con- public
we have
forum
conducted
in the middle
the county's
of it. That's
business.
Why it needs
it was not the middle of it.
It was
everyone
it.
Signed up to speak, had their opportunity to speak.
And then you shut them down.
Commissioner
and
Calkins.
And you tabled the meeting.
Is there any other business coming from this board by the other commissioners? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.
You want a grandstand. You want time for attention to spout your nonsense. Fine, do it on social media. Do it at a rally. Not going to do it here. And I agree. I mean, Colton is doing his very best to keep order in a kind of a chaotic situation where you have one commissioner in particular who wants the chaos. I mean, he clearly does. He clearly wants this, and he's kind of getting his way. And I mentioned the other person who showed up, and you know, kind of his goal is to always get thrown out. It seems to me that's his goal. He was there, and I would just only for the sake of like, if you're the commissioner, you know, if you're the chairman, what do you do to handle this? Like, how do you get people to just kind of, hey, we're trying to do a meeting here with meaningful stuff. Can you behave? This is Michael Stevens. He's that guy, the one who's always yelling about something or other the last couple of times.
Good morning, Mike Stevens, District 2, Santa Rosa County, Milton. I want to talk about Mr. Pasco.
That's the Marine Advisory.
Mr. Pasco getting fired through an email by Kerry Smith, the guy with the little man syndrome. And I am sure Colton, the pearl clutcher, was involved, worked to remove a man who knows our waterways and has been on that committee for 17 years, and he gets an email saying bye-bye because it wasn't because he did anything wrong. It was because he was conservative Republican, and little man would rather appoint a Democrat who has not even been in our community but a couple of years.
Except for there was evidence that he didn't show up to a lot of meetings, and that was actually the reason why they let him go is because they failed to make quorum repeatedly because enough people weren't showing up to the meetings. So they wanted somebody who would actually attend. That was the reason. There's no problem letting somebody say, you know, things like that. But I actually agree with Kerry Smith, Commissioner Kerry Smith, who says, are we going to allow personal attacks? One of the things that they don't do in Escambia County, well, say this just right. It depends who you're attacking, because the three commissioners who vote as a block, you know, Stephen Barry, Lumen May, and Jeff Bergosh, have had a history of allowing personal attacks against people they don't like, particularly Doug Underhill when he was in office. So I won't say the rules were enforced fairly and evenly, but still there is the principle that you're supposed to be talking to the chair, not talking about or to these other people so much, and certainly not supposed to engage in these personal attacks. Santa Rosa County hasn't really had that kind of a rule that they've enforced. I certainly don't mind if they enforce it. And look, clearly this guy's goal is to say things to agitate and inflame and, you know, try to get hustled off by the sheriff's deputy. I don't mind putting a policy in that says, you know, if you get escorted out by the sheriff's deputy, you're out of the meetings for a month. You know, 60 days, cooling off period. Well, that's censorship. No, that's trying to create some decorum so we can do the business of the people without wasting time, staff time, and trying to have a dignified, decent meeting, which is ultimately the goal. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Doug's Auto Supply in Pace isn't your ordinary auto supply dealer. Jeremy Dawson, manager, says his inventory is vast. It includes auto and truck parts, tools, motor oil and other fluids, batteries, more blades, belts, filters, paint. Doug's may even have the kitchen sink. Doug's Auto Supply. Get your wiper blades installed for free and a free battery check. Doug's Auto Supply since 1977, located near Grocery Outlet in Pace, a proud sponsor of the Blue Angels Air Show.
Hey guys, I'm Nicole Stacy. There are more things to do in our area than you can even imagine. So who better to share the adventure of the Pensacola experience than the team at Visit Pensacola? Share with us your experience by using the hashtag ExperiencePeakOla. Go to visitpensacola.com and listen in Friday at 9:30 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy sunsets with your favorite bands. This week, it's Mass Confusion. La, la, la. They'll take the stage with classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies in a style all their own. Grab a blanket or a lawn chair, but please, no pets or glass. And we'll see you at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
On July 8th, News Radio Pensacola will be at Casino Beach for the Pensacola Beach Blue Angels Air Show. Stop by our tent to say hi to Andrew McKay and Tammy Martin.
Oh, it's so fetch. What is fetch?
Oh, it's like slang from England.
She got styling on the wall, Beatles in a box, flags in the hall, Leon and a lock. It's styling on the wall, Beatles in a box, flags in the hall, Leon.
Good morning, 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And watching a few things, certainly caution wherever you are. It looks like there was a train earlier, but that may have been moved, as they do, right near the mill. There was a big slowdown. It looks like everything's fine now. Showing an accident. This is I-10 eastbound at mile marker 7, but that may have been moved off to the side, too. It was blocked just a little bit earlier after a truck went into the trees. Debris in the roadway possible. I-10 westbound at mile marker 19. And still showing that light is out, Pine Forest and 297A. Signal lights out, crews are on scene, and people are there still working on the power lines after the trees took some power lines down. Crews on the scene, so just be very, very careful in that area, and specifically that intersection. 437-1620, text. Got traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne now is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Russian mercenary leader Yevgeny Prigozhin, apparently still facing charges for that armed insurrection in Russia over the weekend. He had reportedly struck a deal to have the charges dropped and go into exile in Belarus, but now state media in Russia saying that those charges are still in place for him. The sentencing phase in the Tree of Life Synagogue shooting trial begins today in Pittsburgh. Robert Bowers was found guilty earlier this month on 63 charges in the 2018 mass shooting. And the world's ugliest dog has been crowned. I don't know if you saw pictures of this.
I try not to look at these pictures because they usually creep me out. Go ahead.
Scooter is a Chinese crested canine with deformed legs. He won the title at the Sonoma Marin Fair in California. I looked at it. It didn't look that ugly to me. I don't know.
It wasn't ugly enough.
Those Chinese Cresteds are, I mean, far be it from me to call anybody ugly, but they always look like they're...
It had some, like, deformed legs and things. I don't know.
Their tongues are always out of their mouth.
The eye and the tooth don't align, all that kind of stuff.
It's weird. It's like somebody... never mind.
Thanks so much for the update. So I will say there was kind of a funny moment in the county commission meeting. This is just like... I love the human moments, right? You know, I try to find them wherever I can. And there was one that was kind of funny because they were talking about this whole issue of the books and the pornography in the schools. And even though it's already illegal, you know, even though the school board is the right place to handle these questions, not the county commission. I mean, all of that was brought up quite a bit, and rightly so. I thought it was kind of funny when Commissioner Sam Parker began his comments.
I'm the only commissioner on this board that was educated in Santa Rosa County public school systems and graduated from Santa Rosa County public school systems. My wife didn't even go to Santa Rosa County Public School. You were at Scambia, right?
I graduated Gulf Breeze High School in 1993.
Give me some knuckles. Give me some knuckles.
Go Dolphins.
That's Colton
we
Wright.
We used to whoop them.
Oh, here. Sorry, I'm talking over the good clip. That's Colton Wright, who went to Gulf Breeze, of course,
that's
right?
That's right.
Talking to Sam Parker.
We used to whoop them in football. Like, it wasn't even a game. But
they always beat you in soccer. Though,
but they are soccer and swim team.
Uh-huh. All right.
I just thought that was, you know.
Where did Sam go? Probably Milton or Pace.
Pace? Yeah, I'm not sure. But, you know, he said it. I could go back and play the clip. But anyway, just, you know, I like those moments too because they're kind of a reminder that everybody's people. 437-1620. Weird advice note about not mailing checks in the mail. Who does mail? Anyway, but if you're going to mail checks and or gift cards, I will tell you, same thing. Don't put them in your mailbox and don't even drop them off the blue, you know, curbside corner catch-all deposit bin. Put them inside the post office because then they can't get stolen. Although there are reports, I guess a lot of mail carriers get robbed. I know, I never thought about it, but...
I never did,
you know,
either. Oh.
I guess this is a stick-up. Give me your bag, you know, or give me your vehicle or give me the bin or whatever, so... Still be careful. You're